And good morning, good morning. It is about 4 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, KBOO, your community radio station. This is Positively Revolting.
It is.
I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn. And you were just listening to XTC, River of Orchids. I'm a huge fan of theirs still.
We love XTC.
I know.
And loving XTC. Okay. But we digress.
Or progress. We'll find out.
So, this weekend is Earth Day. There are many, many things going on to honor and celebrate this day. KBOO is co-sponsoring a couple of things going on. And, you know, this all interrelates to our program. So we'll be getting right around to it. Earth Day. And, of course, the goal is we live every day as Earth Day. But here's a weekend where we mark time to celebrate and honor our mother, our sustainer, our lover, the Earth. So City Repair is hosting an Earth Day celebration on Sunday. That's at the Cascade campus of PCC over on Killingsworth. And that's going to be 11 to 6. There's a crafting area with all manner of interactive things for little folks to do called the Little. It's got an apostrophe. Earthlings Village. There's going to be a very short-term child care provided for parents that want to take advantage of a healing arts tent close by. There's music. KBOO will be providing a live remote from part of the music for the day. So we will be live remoting from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock for that celebration. And that is on Sunday, the 22nd. But before Sunday the 22nd, we have tonight and we have tomorrow. And tonight and tomorrow...
Isn't there a fire dance at some point?
Fire ceremony.
Fire ceremony, excuse me.
That's different. And we'll be talking more about that, because that's a part of today. And tomorrow is actually the Earth and Spirit Council is holding their conference at PCC Sylvania. And again, that is tonight and tomorrow. And we're going to be talking a lot more about that on this program coming up, as we have with us in the studio Robin Chilstrom of the Earth and Spirit Council Board, who can give us details of the conference. And we have one of the panelists, one of the keynote speakers of the conference, Barbara Ford, a local deep ecologist, author, environmentalist, person who is actively working to bring about the Great Turning and steward that in. So welcome, both of you, to Positively Revolting.
Thank you,
Annie.
Thank
you.
Let's jump in right away with what do we mean by the Great Turning? For people that are unfamiliar with this concept, how do we explain that?
Okay, well, I have a new way of explaining that than I used to. The Great Turning is essentially a phrase that was coined by several people, including Joanna Macy and David Corton. Some of you may people, your people
he
may know.
He is a friend of
work.
The show. We have him on all the
yes,
time.
Yes, he's
as
a good friend.
As often as possible.
Essentially, it's a description of this period in time of transition from the industrial growth society that emerged in the last century to a time of... ideally, hopefully, moving towards a sustainable world, a just world, something that transitions our Western culture that's based on profit and endless growth, et cetera, to a place of clarity of our connections to the world, deepening of our understanding of radical interconnectedness with all beings, and also an understanding of our responsibilities to each other in that process. It's really one of three stories that are happening in the world right now. And I can talk more about the other two stories as well.
Well, I think that's actually, when you said one of three, it brings me automatically to say, really?
How handy.
What could the other two be?
How handy. Yes. So the other two stories that are happening in the world right now, one is the business as usual story. That is the story that is being propagated by, guess who? The people who are profiting from not having to really look at the processes, damage to the world, the idea of the economy as an endless growth economy, the idea that profit is the most important thing, the idea that it's okay to take whatever out of the earth without any particular responsibility to the collective needs of any creatures on the earth, let alone humans. And so it's the messages that we're getting in a lot of our media, not KBOO, a lot of our media that's, what's your problem? We need oil. What's your problem? Profit is a good thing. What's your problem? What's your problem? Nothing. Nothing to see here, folks. That's the business as usual model.
Barbara, don't you find that sociopathic? Is that a clinical term?
Well, I think that there is that story. There's that story about that. There's also a piece about, I think, about a developmental process that we as a culture are in that means that I believe that our culture is in sort of a patho-adolescent developmental process that mm-hmm. puts people into that place. They're very reactive. It's a very sort of narcissistic way of being. I'm not saying that adolescence is that way, that there's a healthy adolescent developmental process, and then there's a dysfunctional, unhealthy adolescent developmental process. So, yes, you can look at probably individuals who are propagating this story for their own profit, and I can definitely say that sociopathy could be a part of it. But there's mm-hmm. also a collective developmental stuntedness we're in right now, that we're looking, the great turning is a part of, I think, a collective vision quest experience we're in right now of trying to move past that story into a new story of who we are as members of the earth and how we belong to the earth. So that's one thing I can look at. The second story is the story, again, of David Corton's and Joanna's, of the great unraveling that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, that, you know, the earth is, we're not going to survive based on the facts that, you know, 500 species a day are being lost, that the climate is going out of control, the oceans are being acidified, injustice is being increased over time in the world, stratification of economy, et cetera, et cetera. All these things are true, and all of three of these stories are happening in our world right now. Mm-hmm. And so the question that we're all living with is, what story do we want to put our energy behind? You know, mm-hmm. so that's kind of where those of us, all beings who are participating in the great turning, and there are many, many ways that we can talk about participating in this great turning story. It's like, where shall we put our energy? Do we want to just, we need to acknowledge all three. We need to acknowledge the pain of the great unraveling, and we need to acknowledge the denial of the business of as usual, and we also need to help to grow this idea of the great turning.
Let's look at business as usual, mm-hmm. since that is what most of us find ourselves surrounded in. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who works with people a whole lot, working with people on denial issues, mm-hmm. they don't see what they don't want to see. That's denial. Mm-hmm. How do we, as people who are consciously aware that profit-driven, nothing to see here, mm-hmm. this is there is no alternative. It's just the way things are.
Yes.
How is it that those of us that see past that can start to gently work with, converse with those of us who see there is no alternative? This mm-hmm. is just
see past your own bootstraps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a good question. I have no easy answer to. I
mean, well, okay, fine. You know,
otherwise, I'd be the brilliant person that saved the world, but I'm not that person. So,
but we have 40 minutes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, to me, that's one of the bigger challenges. As you know, if you come up to somebody who's in deep denial mm-hmm. and you say, "No, no, it's like this," mm-hmm. they tend to clench and get more into denial.
Yeah,
is my experience.
And I think that there's different sources of that denial. Some sources are they don't want to see it because they're profiting in, I mean, sociopathic source. And then there's another piece that they are just scraping by, and they're just barely managing, and they can't have one more piece of pain to hold on to. And then there's another piece of they understand that there is a lot going on. We're all collectively experiencing this world, and just because somebody's in denial doesn't mean that there isn't some part of them that knows that something is wrong in their body, or in seeing it in their children's faces, or in their backyard. Uh-huh. The idea, we've been trained not to acknowledge the pain of the world. We've been trained not to, you know, not to say anything about it. And to acknowledge it makes it more real for people and much more painful. And that's the place where that's one of the places where we get really stuck. And there is some ground that we need to hold on to in order to be able to stay present to the world. There's some skills and tools that we've sort of lost. I mean, many indigenous cultures and other parts of our world understand and know how to be with the pain of the world because they have skills and tools to understand their sense of actual connection and gratitude for what's the beauty of the world.
Yeah. That's. I'm sorry. I'm getting all lost, and I'm listening. It is 8:15, but when in doubt, ID. It's 8:15. You're listening to Positively Revolting, and we are sitting here being riveted by Barbara Ford, and we're talking about the Great Turning, mm-hmm. among other things, and how to negotiate your way through it. You are working. With Joanna Macy and Chris Johnstone, just in March, this book came out.
Yes,
called
Active Hope.
How to navigate this crazy mess.
Yeah, the name of the book is called Active Hope: How to Face the Mess We're In Without Going Crazy. And I really love this book. This is sort of a culmination of a lot of different ways of thinking about the same thing. Originally, in the 80s, she developed some workshops and practices called despair and empowerment workshops, mostly working with people who are dealing with nuclear power and nuclear weapons issues at the time. Very difficult, painful,
which has not
continually
gone away.
You know, the halftime of plutonium is still...
It's way too long. It's not really a halftime.
Several hundred thousands of years.
I love that they can call that a halftime.
I know.
It's like a really long time.
And so she started... One of the things she saw when she sort of got her awakening around what's happening in the world is she would talk to people and they'd all shut down, and she sort of realized she is not only a deep ecologist and a Buddhist scholar, she's also a systems theorist. And so she was looking at all this from all those lenses and saw that essentially the feedback loops emotionally were being shut down and that people were not able to act and move because they were shutting down around the emotional part of what was going on. She developed these practices to purposefully help people find a way in groups to practice together, opening up those feedback loops, opening up their hearts to face these issues together. Because the question then becomes, it changes from, I don't want to face this, to, I don't want to face it alone, which changes the feeling, right? You can mm-hmm. sense that. Oh, I don't want to face it alone means I can still do it if I have my people with me or mm-hmm. my beings with me. That's part of her work, and then it's evolved over time to being called The Work That Reconnects, an awkward but very accurate view of her work, to now this practice that she calls Active Hope. And she's kind of given those of us who facilitate this work sort of the permission to just go ahead and call it Active Hope Workshops and try to get this work out in some new ways.
So if you would like to join in this conversation, you can feel free to do that at 503-231-8187. And we have Sean, who has already done so. 503-231-8187. You can also check us out on Facebook. Leave comments there if you would prefer not to use the phone. That is, facebook.com/positivelyrevolting.
Or positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. We are all connected all over the place.
Open to your communication now. And good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Hey, one of my favorite writers is a guy named Joel Cobble. I'm holding in my hand this book titled The Enemy of Nature, The End of Capitalism, or The End of the World. And it seems to me a kind of a beautiful synthesis of the deep ecology movement and more traditional Marxism. This idea that we have to criminalize profit, we have to completely abolish markets. There can be no room for free markets. They have to be completely eliminated. And also I'm thinking about Derek Jensen and Deep Green Resistance. I was wondering if your guest this morning had any comments either on Joel Cobble or Derek Jensen and the Deep Green Resistance movement.
Yeah, thanks for that. I don't know Joel Cobble's work. Everybody has a particular lens, and we need all the lenses there to be looking at these issues and to be lifting up the concerns. I do know Derek's work somewhat. I'm actually about a third of the way through Deep Green Resistance. Derek is actually a very interesting teacher to me. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I learned a very, very important thing from him in an article he wrote several years ago in Orion Magazine. He wrote an article called Beyond Hope. And Derek's take on it, all this isn't the phrase that he used at the time, was essentially hope is the opiate of the masses. And he sees hope as something that, at least in this article, I can't speak for him now. This was several years ago. I certainly can't speak for him anyway. several years ago, that hope was something that people who felt unempowered to act went to a place of passiveness, passivity, and that they would say, oh, well, I hope things will get better. And sometimes people do that. I don't think that that's the end all of hope. But one beautiful teaching I got from Derek was he was describing, he was saying this piece about if somebody's threatening my beloved, and he was by beloved, he could have meant his personal beloved or the earth beloved. Mm-hmm. I don't act because I hope I will be successful. I act because I love her. And I thought that kind of changed my world in some ways, because love is at the core of any process that we're in of acting. So at any rate, we're moving forward. We move forward because we love, not because we think we're going to be successful. And that's the core of active hope. And I think that's one of the frames that Joanna and Chris took in the new book, was looking at hope as an active process, an act of love. I see it as sort of this active hope is sort of the love child of love and intention, that you put love and intention together to bring forth and embody and enact hope in the world. So, yes, I do honor Derek's work particularly, and I don't know Joel's work.
I've spoken with Derek a number of times, and a very interesting person who embodies, to me, non-denial states.
Yes.
that is true.
To a degree that I think many people find uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, let's move on ahead. Shall we?
We shall.
Okay. Let's actually, Robin, tell us about, people are listening to Barbara right now. Barbara's going to be part of a panel tonight at the Earth Spirit Council conference celebrating Earth Day. The Next Seven Generations is the name of this conference.
That's right. And it's interesting that the panel, the question the panel is going to be answering tonight or talking about is what gives us hope and heart to keep working for the Earth as we face growing challenges. So it's just what we're talking about. And there will be young folks who will be asking questions of the panel. The panel will be sharing their take on that question throughout.
So the conference starts tonight with an opening ceremony.
Yes, so there's going to be a fire ceremony that starts at 6, and there'll be drumming, and then there'll be drumming that takes us into the performance or the conference hall. It's going to be quite a wonderful ceremony.
And so the ceremony is open to the public.
It is open to the public. The event itself, though, the talk tonight is, or the panelist talk, is $20. I just wanted to say that the panelists include Barbara, the grandmother Agnes Pilgrim, Eric Gonzalez, Larry Mercurlieff, who was here last year, and I think some folks who heard him know what an amazing speaker he is, Dwayne Elgin, and also Laura Kuttner.
All right. So it's quite a full panel tonight.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow there are workshops throughout the day.
Throughout the day, and it's an incredible lineup of people. There's going to be workshops on botany, workshops on active hope by Barbara, is actually doing a wonderful workshop tomorrow. An entire day of workshops. I think there are 25. And also there's going to be, at the end of the conference tomorrow, there's going to be a closing storytelling circle that we'll be doing called the Council of Cascadians. So throughout the day, there'll be mask making, species mask making of Cascadian people. And then folks are invited to come into the circle. And we're going to be telling the story of our time now and our way as we weave into the future. So everyone in the circle is going to be given the opportunity to weave in their hope, their vision, their dream, their longing for the earth. And, you know, as we were talking about passion, I think that part of what is gets me so stuck, and I see other people too, there's a hopelessness that comes from not being able to connect with each other. So when we come together in our circle, small or large, we really are affirming the fact that we are one people, and inviting the species, even energetically, into our circle. We are wanting to remember that we are one big earth family, and especially here in Cascadia, where nature is so, so close to us.
Well, and that part of what we try to talk about here on Positively Revolting and with David Corton is that community is a real source of wealth, and that that has just been so lost. I don't know how long it's been, but quite some time, I would say. Yes. I like to equate it to capitalism sometimes, but I think there's a lot of other things going on.
Things are usually more complicated than we like them to be.
I just wanted to let people know that they can go to our website, www.earthandspirit.org, and there you can click on to the website for the conference, and you'll see the list of panelists. It's really going to be an amazing day tomorrow.
So, I mean, and even the sun is supposed to be out.
And yes, and you know, it's
take time from your gardening,
it's
folks.
It's very, very, it's very inexpensive. For members of Earth and Spirit Council, that only costs $35. You get in free for the whole day, except for guest panelists workshops, which are a little more, but not that much. And for
Barbara's doing the twinkly fingers. Just all that you folks can't see that are
students. Students with ID and kids are free, and the general admission is $20. That is such a deal.
So a full day lineup.
A full day.
And
yeah.
Again, more information can be found at your website, earthandspirit.org.
You got it.
And so let's. I want to get to actually talking a little bit about Earth and Spirit.
You know, I had some questions about that myself.
Did you,
yes,
Lynn?
Yes, yes, yes.
I love it when we think alike.
Oops.
Okay, so as Lynn deconstructs the studio momentarily, I think a lot of people in leftist, progressive places sometimes get a little uncomfortable around the idea of spirituality as being a part of something that is political action or political theory. To me, as you know, in it, where I sit in this world, I can't separate them because to me they are one and the same. But I have noticed there's divisions. There tend to be folks that are deep into environmentalism, who are very much systems thinker and into the biology and the science of it all. Mm-hmm. And then we get into conversation, and I'm all about, you know, the earth and Gaia and, you know, respect for our lover, our mother, our friend, our pal, our sustainer, whatever you want to call her. And there's this glazing over, and it's like, well, okay, you're a little wacky, but now if you want to get a biology class in, you know, we can talk again. I don't see, again, so in your work, obviously, these are deeply fused.
Yes.
So, how is it that that works for you? The you know, your spiritual practice, your environmentalism, and how do you parlay that to people who are a little more skeptical and you know, thinking, well, it's a, you know, it sounds a little woo for me.
Yeah.
I'm going back to biology.
Okay. Well, we love our biologists. I heart biologists. They are doing very, very important work. And again, all the lenses are necessary. Mm-hmm. But when I work sometimes in workshops, and I've done several where there's the full range of woo or non-woo in the workshop, sometimes I will sort of say, okay, so in the beginning, I'll introduce myself and I'll say, okay, so this is who I am. I am this person who uses this language that you may or may not relate to, but you can translate this for your own purposes. So while I may be speaking of the idea of grace, which to me is just a profound, deep experience of interconnectedness. You may experience it as synergy. You may understand that grace and synergy are the same thing. So translate at will as you need to. But I don't think that anybody's going to argue with the idea of gratitude, gratefulness for the world, which is one of the core practices of active hope, of the work that reconnects, of despair and empowerment work, whatever decade you want to be looking at when that came out. Gratitude as a bad thing. Like, gratitude is something that helps us to, it reminds us of why we're even here, why we want to do the things we do, what we have to save. Beauty and gratitude and love essentially are the basics. Now, most people wouldn't really argue deeply with that. They may not, they may be living more from the neck up, and that's sort of how it goes sometimes. But my goal is to help people move at least a little bit further down into a more embodied practice and more embodied sense of connection.
Well, Michael Mead always talks about the difference between spirit and soul.
Yes.
And how spirit wants to clean everything up. And it's a very, it's an up to the sky kind of thing. And it seems like that sort of, and I don't want to call it spiritual practice, because soul is the messy stuff.
Yes.
And to me, that's kind of where heart is.
Yes. Yeah, and it's also where challenge is. It's where intention is. It's a very important part.
Well, and in an environment right now when everyone is asked to define their spiritual practice. What are you, a Christian? Are you Buddhist?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Jubu? Are you blah 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 blah? And earlier when we were talking this morning, you were talking about yourself being and I wrote it down.
Contemplative
animist. Mm-hmm. That's the closest thing that I've come also. Because another thing, and I think it was Michael Mead that said it, but
and
I
thank
don't
you
know
for
who.
Finally giving us that word.
Yes, we love it. We love it. And, because to me, religion is sort of someone else's view mm-hmm. of spirituality, and I just can't ever kind of go there.
Yeah, and it is hard when people seem to be continually...
Everyone wants this definition right now, which I find is disturbing and doesn't get anybody anywhere.
Right, and you could say that you're a Buddhist, and people will put on all kinds, whatever their projections are about what that is.
Oh,
so,
right. Oh, the Hector projector, yes.
Yeah. So at any rate, it's an interesting line to walk with people, and it's something that I just give a lot of free rein for people to just sort of be themselves, but offer up saying, this is who I am, this is where I'm coming from, this is where the work is coming from. The work comes from systems theory.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the science guys that I've worked with in the past, they love that piece. You know, they can really connect to it. That's great.
Not a thing wrong with science.
Not a thing wrong with science. It's Mm-mm. It's very, very important. And some of the wisest people I know are scientists who have also made these other connections around soul and spirit. Because I'm not talking about a lot of woo. You know, I'm not talking about just everybody only just doing this one piece. Everything is needed. And so we need to be able to hold all of it in essence to be whole people.
Well, and it seems like some people's definition of woo has to do with being ungrounded.
Yeah.
And nothing that you're saying strikes me that way particularly.
Yeah.
At this particular time. But let me remind you that you are listening to Positively Revolting on mm-hmm. KBOO in Portland. We're here. I'm Lynn. I'm here with Ani and Barbara Ford and Robin Chilstrom, and we are doing all sorts of non-woo-woo this morning. Anyway, we're talking about the Earth and Spirit Conference, and if you would like to call in with a question, because I know you all have some out there, and don't wait till the last minute, because we only have...
Because it'll be over.
It'll be over, and you'll have missed your opportunity. 503-231-8187. Or you can ask a question on Facebook or call our positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
And on Facebook, we are in fact facebook.com/positivelyrevolting.
Yes, we
as
are.
As you might expect.
Mm-hmm.
So in looking at, I just got to say, I'm still really excited you're here. Because the idea, again, of... getting people who are in this place of, I consider it very fear-based. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and you know, again, we were talking about Derek earlier. I think that with some of the folks that I talk with, once you sort of get past that veil of, oh my God, we are so terribly screwed,
mm-hmm.
And looking at the issues of deforestation
yes.
and feeling that pain.
Yes.
Looking at salmon runs, and mm-hmm. Looking at really the devastation around us, because the world is in such pain and is in such a desperate state, mm-hmm. that pain, I know we had mentioned earlier, sort of drives people into denial. Certain people mm-hmm. have that reaction.
Yeah.
When people start coming out of that denial and mm-hmm. start feeling that pain again, mm-hmm. it's overwhelming.
It can be, because they are trying to do it by themselves, for one thing. And also because they aren't finding places of support for just even giving voice. Because if you actually unblock the feedback loop in systems terms, or if you look at it in the Buddhist thing of if you actually inhabit your heart and you're present to your heart, then actually, ironically, it kind of opens things up and gives you energy. It mm-hmm. gives you energy, and also makes you understand much more deeply that you are indeed not alone. That, essentially the practice of feeling the pain of the world is an act of compassion, which is the highest. Compassion literally means to suffer with. The word compassion comes from the meaning to suffer with. And so we're looking at our capacity to practice what is one of the most venerated spiritual practices in every spiritual tradition, is the act of being able to live and be compassion. And compassion offers itself in many different guises, and there's sort of four basic emotional states we can look at. If you don't mind, I'll kind of go
Please,
into that a little
yeah,
bit.
No.
So grief, what we're talking about, people are, if people looked at what was really going on and understanding, huge grief can hit. And that is entirely normal. I think one of the things that people are afraid of is they're maybe living in circumstances where if they actually express their grief for what's happening in the world, they'll get told, oh, you're too sensitive, oh, what's your problem, oh, you're dysfunctional, oh, you're just trying to distract from other more important things, oh, what, So these are the messages that people are being told as they're actually expressing and experiencing a sense of connectedness and compassion. And the grief is actually good news. It's actually, even though it doesn't feel very good at the time, it is an expression of love. Grief is always connected to love. You do not grieve what you don't love. And we won't save what we don't love either, as Wendell Berry, the wonderful poet and farmer, has said. So grief is good news. Anger is another response too, a very normal actual response. Anger is always connected to your passion for justice. When you get angry about something, it's because you see an injustice happening and you wish to be part of righting it. So that's a very normal and compassionate response. Fear is another big one. Fear comes out in all kinds of ways. Will my children, have a world to be left in, to thrive in? Will I make it? Or, all my family has cancer, et cetera, from these toxins. And fear comes up. There's no way to deny it. And yet fear also gets connected to compassion by the trust and courage it takes to speak that fear. And then the last piece is sort of a generic kind of inclusion of denial, kind of shutdownness, vagueness, confusion. When I do a ritual around this, this is the symbol for it is an empty bowl, sitting in the empty bowl of not knowing, like, how to respond. That's very, very common. It's hard to know, and sometimes we go to a place of blankness. And that is actually allows for a space for new things to emerge. If you can just sit with not knowing, both spiritually and systems-wise, that leaves space for something new to emerge. So these are all gifts that come out of this process that we're in together. And if we can find other people that can witness us in these states and to be supportive of us, whether it's our family, whether it's our friends, whether it's actually being in a workshop or whatever, whether it's in our collectives, our political groups, our workplaces, to be able to just state out loud, oh, this thing that I just saw this thing in the news and it's just making me so sad to think about this, that changes the energy around it. The powers that be, the business as usual people, want us to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to not be able to respond. Gratitude is a revolutionary act. Thus, gratitude in face of consumer culture is an act of resistance. To be able to say, I am enough, I have enough. I have my community. I am here, present with my people. My people being all beings, rocks and everything, and as the contemplative animist would see it.
Indeedly,
I am here, and I am. I'm not going to accept this message that I need to go buy this kind of deodorant and do all these different things in order to be acceptable in this world. I belong in this world, and this idea of belonging has been something I've been thinking about a lot about.
It has more charge than connecting.
It's like in spiritual terms, it's like a covenant with the world. You know, that you are here, you were born into this world, and there's some people who think we were born into this time of the great turning for a purpose. I mean, that's a woo thought, but you know,
not to start thinking that.
Yeah, but I've been thinking a lot about, like, what does it really mean to belong to the world? What kind of choices, what kinds of agreements have I made? Do I make to belong to the world? What is my particular gift to bring? And I'm talking about belonging, not like being like everybody else.
No.
But belonging like I belong, like I belong in a permaculture garden where I have a particular role to play in that garden.
Well, in the business as usual people, it seems you have a great investment in the not belonging.
Yeah.
Well, in alienation. Yes. Yeah. As long as we're alienated.
I was going to. Yeah. You could say it that way, or the not belonging.
The not belonging. Yeah.
The not belonging.
But speaking of questions, we, which we really weren't, but we've got some folks on the phone.
All right.
So what the heck? Red?
I am loving your segues.
Thank you. They're just, they're sort of there today. Okay, Red.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, there's some institutionalized denial and confusion going around. It's called Christianity, and I just wanted to call it out. You know, the head avatar of Christianity said, I am the misdirection, the lie, and the darkness. And then he said, oh, did I say that out loud? I mean, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And, of course, what I'm really putting down is institutionalized Christianity. And it's just all too friendly with that passivity. And we're supposed to expect that Jesus is coming, and this is the way it's supposed to be. And that's just a way of collectively shutting your eyes. And it's really getting in the way of everything. People need to wake up and give up on that. Oh, and by the way, I want to say that the world's not ending in December, so we still have to get to work.
Well, thank you, Red. You sound strangely familiar to me.
Yeah, I thought you might notice that.
Oh, one of many, many names.
Okay. Barbara, what do you say to this? What say thee?
Well, Red, I hear the passion in your voice around taking action. And I hear the passion in your voice that things people need to step up, and I absolutely agree with you on that. I think that you're painting, of course, a pretty broad paintbrush of Christians and Christian people. There may be sort of a perverted version of Christianity that's being propagated right now as the mainstream. I don't see it that way. There's some amazing people who are actually taking action as a result of their faith. I point to particularly people like Bill McKibben, who's a Methodist Sunday school teacher, as he describes himself, who's one of the leaders around trying to work on this climate change issue and has been a major spokesperson and synergist for making this work happen. So I can't agree with you on that piece. And there are dysfunctional people in every part of the world.
True that. And we have another caller, payphone Pat, who's not sure how long he can stay on the line. So
let's jump on in.
Jump on
payphone,
in.
You're there.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, well, I'm not afraid of the woo, although I have been known to duck once in a while when things get a little hairy.
Payphone, you are the woo.
Thank you. I appreciate that, but that's another story. Actually, I just wanted to poise one of my dilemmas in that as I speak right now, I'm using a device that has rare earth minerals in it.
Yes.
Being harvested at great cost to humanity, the children, I'm about to speak of Mother Earth herself, but yet the necessity of all of the web and wireless world, I mean, it seems to be an absolute necessity in order for this congregation to, to keep progressing. So I'm just kind of wondering what you have to say about that. And I guess I'll just leave that one there, and I'll listen to you off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, it's a paradox, isn't it? And the paradox is that we are all living in this culture. We were all born into this culture. We all, we live on the earth in ways that were not originally constructed, and we are using tools, and we live with that knowledge and pain, those of us who are willing to look at that and understand that none of us can do all that we wish to do, and we don't, I mean, we are colluding in many ways, and that's a part of our pain as well. And it's hard to know exactly how to change that, how to live without any some form of collusion with the destruction of the earth.
And I really feel, I mean, we are born, those of us who are born on this continent, in this country, most especially, we live in the belly of the beast.
Yes.
And I have found in my life some of the greatest energy sucks. Some of the greatest, most frustrating time wasting is the purity contests of,
yes.
I walk uphill both ways without shoes, and it doesn't really get us anywhere.
Right.
I've chosen, I think I'm one of 10 people left in Portland who has chosen not to have a cell phone for reasons, 11 people, thank you, Robin, for reasons that payphone has just put out there, but I got to admit, I have a laptop. Mm-hmm. They use the same.
Why, so does Robin.
Yeah. They use the same, minerals. Mm-hmm. So I try to consume consciously. Okay, so I have one, not two devices. But what is that, to behave and to live consciously, to know the impact you're having, to set, I don't want to say to be okay with that, because I'm really not okay with it, but I accept that I will have impact. And that I will use tools that will impact this world, and that I do what I can to change those conditions actively with those tools is how I come to see it. I don't know.
Absolutely, and I think that there's also sometimes what I've heard is a sort of a sense of purity. If only if everybody did this thing, if only if everybody put their energy into anti-corporatism work, or if only people put their energy into this. And the reality is, everything needs to be done. We need to feed the children, we need to sit in trees, we need to heal each other and our bodies and our souls. This is all needed, and there's sort of an idea of this.
Well, spirit wants it fast, and soul thinks it's going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah, and also...
I think there's a part of this that we all don't always remember, that we're, each one of us is a part of this, the great turning.
Right.
We all have a piece to play, and the internet, having computers, they serve us as tools so that we can communicate with each other and really get moving, get the energy moving. But I just wanted to say that because Barbara is doing this incredible workshop this weekend called Active Hope, people are coming together, and it's one of the things she talked about that I think is so important, coming together in groups, because our lives are isolated, even more so with the tools we use. But I also wanted to share that just a few of the other workshops that are going to be happening this weekend.
Please.
So there's Barbara's Active Hope, Our World in Transition by Duane Elgin, an incredible author.
Yes, I know Duane, and he does some beautiful work about cosmology and activism, which is really lovely.
And then there's also Eric Gonzalez, who is sharing with us Mayan spiritual teachings. There's Teachings from the Womb by Larry Merkuliev, who is an Aleut and native from Alaska, very incredible activist in his region. Grandmother Agnes Pilgrim, who's one of the 13 indigenous grandmothers.
She was on KBU last night.
Yes, so she will be doing a workshop, and she'll be a panelist with Barbara. There's also Laura Kudner, who is, she's doing making crates out of plastic bottles that are for recycling.
Oh, yes.
And she is a Peace Corps volunteer who's actually come back to America with this wonderful Trash for Peace project. So she's doing a great workshop with people. You need to bring plastic bottles, if you can, to her workshop tomorrow. So that there'll be enough supplies. Gosh, no, we have enough.
We have plenty of them.
And then just in the range of workshops, the Inherent Naturalist, Judy Todd, it's Reclaiming Our Birthright as People of the Earth. Mother Earth Children, Connecting with Medicinal Plants with Deborah Francis. English Ivy Basketry. I don't know if you know the work of Peter Michael Bauer. He is a rewilding expert. He's done some amazing work in Portland. You should check him out on his website. Edible Wild Plants with John Callis, Biophilia and Health with Kurt Beal, who teaches at the Naturopathic College in Portland, Organizing the Community to Protect the Environment with Ramsey McPhillips, Your Environmental Handprint with John Beamer, Awakening to Our Power as We the People, Paul Cienfuegos, who's also going to have a great bookstore at the conference. And then there's Trash for Peace with Laura, Awakening the Indigenous Heart with Jonathan Merritt, who's also organizing the Sacred Fire, Remembering Our Ancestors, Healing Our Indigenous Mind with Paula McPhee, The Key to the Future is the Past with Natem Anek, and it goes on and on. So please come.
There's something for everyone.
There is.
I think we can almost honestly say that, yes. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
You know, there's just one more workshop I wanted to mention.
Sure.
Recovering Celilo Falls with Sean Cruz.
Oh.
Very
oh,
important.
Nice.
Yes, and Sean is Native American. And this is a new initiative. Of course, we all know about the inundation of Celilo Falls. So I think this will be a powerful workshop for people who understand that what we've done, and that we need to make reparations.
And that perhaps damming the rivers
wasn't the brightest idea ever.
No. And there are also going to be music workshops. There's going to be Earth Chant with Annie Herring, the Women's Ceremonial Drum with Sharon Rowe, Voice Weaving with me. We'll be doing some art workshops, too, some percussion instruments, some mask making.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, I just want to mention the role of creativity in the Great Turning, that it's a really vital part of our process together because, you know, the earth is, what is the earth? The earth is creative. It's constantly creating. And by claiming our creativity, we're claiming our place as members of the earth and reminding us all through art and music and other ways, storytelling, et cetera, why we are here, why we are together, how we are connected in some beautiful ways. And we are allowing ourselves to be moved through the energy of all of us, to be moved through us in our creative endeavors. And so that's another piece of work that I'm really loving as well.
And that, as Molly Ivan said, freedom fighting should be fun.
Yes.
Remind people what a good time. After you, I posted a little thing on Facebook that somebody reminded me of a quote from her. And I often talk about that because she used to say freedom fighting takes a lot of beer, but also that all of this work. And I was glad that you brought up creativity because mm-hmm. I start thinking fun when I think of creativity.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That. To me, part of what the business as usual crowd is just really trying to squeeze all the fun out of life.
Well, and they also
and all
are
the
not,
life out of life.
And
yeah.
all the life out of fun.
They're not interested in people learning how to be creative either.
No.
They're interested in force feeding their own, you know, stories onto people without people kind of inquiring inside. And I think that's something that previous caller, when he's talking about Christianity and that big broad stroke. I mean, there is an essence of Christianity that doesn't want people to look inside. Inside is the devil, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a way of reclaiming yourself as a part of the whole. It's a part of a way of reclaiming your gifts and your connection to Gaia, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I also see in more kind of useful ways, embracing your creativity. I'm very interested in improv, like improvisational singing, et cetera, because I think that it's a way of learning to open our channels to the collective consciousness.
Absolutely.
It's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, we need to know how to move and change
mm-hmm.
and find our
Gotta
way.
Gotta know how to duck and weave these
and receive.
Days.
Yes. And improv is a great way to
right,
learn this.
Right.
And I want to lift up Robin's workshop on voice weaving that's going to be helping people do that as well.
Nice.
Well, we have a call. Can we squeeze one call in, or do you want to do...
Let me do this little thing,
okay.
And then we'll squeeze. At 9 o'clock, stay tuned, Veterans Voice Northwest Vets for Peace will be on the air, speaking with members of the Children of Vietnam Veterans Health Alliance about justice, answers, and support for the generational victims of Agent Orange dioxin. At 10 o'clock, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with the inimitable Chris Andre. At 10:15... Flashpoints reporter Greg Palace talks about BP's history and the legacy of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Also, a look at how the corporate press is fanning the flames for another war in the Middle East. There'll be an interview also with Marcel Khalif, one of the Arab world's most revered cultural icons. Then at 11, the Radio Zine will have Dan Johnson on, speaking with members of Gay and Gray about the upcoming Gay and Gray Portland Expo around issues affecting the local Gay and Gray community. Thanks, KBOO members, of course, for all of your support. We are listener-supported. We need you to continue to be independent. If you are not yet a KBOO member, you can rectify the situation even now. Go to kboo.fm and click the tip jar in the corner. That is what I have to say. Yeah.
Excellent.
Let's go ahead to Greg.
Greg.
Good morning, Greg.
Hello. This is Greg. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, good. Yes, I know. I've agonized a lot about the unfolding tragedy about the Earth, you know? Mm-hmm. And it is really a tragedy. And it's no fun living in this period of time and watching the planet dying off the way it is. And I don't see within humanity the capacity to turn this thing around. Okay? But one thing that brings me a little comfort is the knowledge that mass extinctions are normal. They happen, okay, for a variety of reasons. There's been 5 in the past. We're in the 6th one now, or close to being in the 6th one. And I don't see any way of turning the thing around. Now, you talk about people getting together and maybe bringing comfort to each other, you know, through like seminars and drum circles and all of that. And perhaps for individuals who are seeking some shelter from the storm, you know, and finding some peace in their heart, then perhaps that is helpful. I don't see that as going to be able to turn everything around and stop what is happening.
I want to say I absolutely agree with you, and I want to clarify the intention of the work that we're talking about, which I didn't really get to talk about in terms of the all the spiral of the work. This work isn't deliberately intended to empower and inspire people to take action in whatever way they need to. So this work is not about personal growth, although that is definitely a part of what happens for people. It's absolutely about empowering people. When you feel connected to the earth, you feel much more empowered and capable, because we were all here at the point of the Big Bang. We have 4.5 billion years of investment in this world. And so the intention of all of this work is not to make ourselves just feel better. It's to help us come together in an empowered way to take action. So I just want to clarify that. And the other piece I wanted to say was I don't always feel, hope is not always what I feel. I am with you in some ways. I understand that feeling. And so when I talk about active hope, I'm not talking about expectations for the future. I'm talking about who shall we be together? How will we be with each other? How will we connect? What healing can we create? What new ways of being together and what old ways can we honor? And how can we work together in it, whatever way is necessary to participate in some kind of healing. So I don't know what the world is going to look like. I don't know what success we will have. Most people who work for social justice really don't know. The women who were the suffragists in the 19th century never saw women voting, but they still worked with clarity and intention and love for that purpose. And that's, I think, the stance that we all need to take as a larger view of time.
Yeah, I certainly think that can help. You know, and perhaps there's a slight chance that collectively that we can all make a difference, and maybe even turn the whole thing around. You know,
is the hope.
That is the hope. Well, thank
that
you.
That is the hope. You know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Greg. We're kind of running out of show here.
Okay.
Thanks
a lot. Thanks for a great show. I appreciate it. Bye.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. So we just have like 2 minutes. Robin, again, details.
It was such a provocative question, and it's a question that is on our minds and in our hearts. So I just wanted to invite everyone to join us tonight at PCC Sylvania for Earth Day Conference 2012, the opening, where that question will come into the room, and it we'll be filling it with our hearts and minds.
And all the information you gave can be found on Earth and Spirit Conference.
Earthandspirit.org.
You can go to www.earthandspirit.org. So PCC Sylvania tonight, opening ceremony starts at 6.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I want to thank both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week, we will have organizers for May Day. And I want to just go ahead and put it out there. May 1st, general strike, kids. What do you think? So, May Day organizers next Friday morning with Lynn and myself. We thank Robin and we thank Barbara very, very much
thank
for joining
so much.
Us in this conversation
thank
this
you.
Morning.
It
it's been
pleasure,
wonderful.
Lynn. Thank you.
Thank you,
Barbara.
All right. Cheers, and we'll see you in a week.
Okie dokie.